Did you work your cattle with horses?
No, not necessarily. We did sometime, but most time our cows were gentle, and you could just take a bucket of feed and tote them in the pen or out mm-hmm. or wherever you wanted to, mm-hmm. if they're hungry. Now, if they wasn't hungry, well, it's kind of like some of the horses. Them horses, you catch them most any time with a bucket of feed, unless if the grass is good sometime, them mules and horses would be contrarian. They wouldn't come to a bucket of feed. Mm-hmm. But most time you could catch them. Just told them in the lot with a bucket of feed or ear corn.
How many horses would an ordinary family keep?
Well, just for working and riding, most time is about two mules and maybe a couple of horses. But some would use more, and some would have a surplus, you know, and some of them would use just a certain one to ride, and they wouldn't work him too hard. But we always had to ride ours and work them too. Mm-hmm. I had a little sorrel horse. Marie might could remember him, Charlie, little Charlie. And you could ride him in the woods. If you come to a fence and you didn't want to go way around it, you could mash down the top wire and take him by the reins and say, come over. And he'd hop it just like a dog. Just go anywhere with him.
I know some horses would go to pieces if you asked him to do that.
Yeah, he would just leap right over. But he was bad about jumping anyhow.
Well, do you remember what year it was that you or your family first got a car?
Well, the first car we got was about a 1923. I believe it was about a 1922 or 23 Ford Model T. And I was about 10, 11 years old. That'd been 61 or 2 years ago, 62 or 3 years ago. And my brother bought it, is older than me. He bought it from an Italian that lived here in Diboll, Sam Cotone, I believe they called him. And he lived over here across the railroad track next to the quarters. And he couldn't pay for it. He bought it in Nacogdoches. Bought it new. And my brother was working on the railroad. And he bought it. And he never did stay at home much. And he'd give it to my mother. And me and my daddy drove it. I was the oldest then. I guess I was about 11 then. And 12. And I learned to drive it. Old Model T. And we kept that thing 3 or 4 years. And it began to go down. My dad got rid of it. I don't remember now what he got for it, whether he traded it or sold it.
Do you remember anything about the Italians that lived in Diboll?
Well, I just knew this and really that, but I'd go by there with Papa. He'd peddle milk and butter and stuff like that in there. And we'd go by there, and I can't remember if he had any of them for customers, but he probably did. But this, and I guess they all worked at the mill.
Mm-hmm. And they lived over there close to the quarters, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they was first, and then the other quarters. Uh-huh. They were first about 8, 10, 12 houses.
Was there a name for the area where they lived in?
Nothing but just the regular quarters, mm-hmm. colored quarters. Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me they thought that the Italians first came to this area to do truck farming. After the stumps had been cut out.
Well, I don't know of any Italians working out in the country. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another funny thing. This prairie here used to be all in cotton, nearly all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, part of it was in corn. And her uncle, or your great uncle, Lee Massengill. Mm-hmm. He owned a lot of this right in here, and Emmett Massengill. And we would work for him. We'd hoe, and we'd pick cotton, chop cotton, and I have helped him cut a few logs, just whatever come up. But before that, there was a man working for him, and you pick cotton back there then, most of it was $1, $100. If you pick 100 pounds, you get $1. 150 pounds, $1.50. And there was a big old man over here in Diboll, his name was Joe Young. He come out and picked cotton one day for Lee Massengill, and he picked 500 pounds. In one day. And Lee had to pay him $5, and he fired him. He said, $5 is too much to pay for one man.
But, but he got all the company.
Yeah, he got the same amount.
Yeah.
But they wasn't too...
He just couldn't stay in paying one person $5.
And when the rest of you is paying us $1.50, $2, that's all we could pick.
Yeah.
I like to never got where I could pick over 100 pounds a day. I finally got 125, 150. I'd have to get out there early and stay late. And I had brothers and sisters both could just beat me, just walk off. And my back always hurt me too bad, and I had to wear a knee pad. I crawl most of the time picking cotton. Some of them get straddle a row or take three rows. One of them, they call it a snatch row. You know, you take this row on your left and get half or more than half off that right, and the other one in over there doing the same thing. Call the middle row. When you take three, you call the middle row the snatch row, and you snatch what you can, you know.
How old were you when you went to work for Mr. Devereaux? You said that was your first job?
Yeah, it was 1934. It was before I married in 36.
When were you born?
1912, October the 10th, this month. A few days ago, I was 73. Mm-hmm. I was born in Leon County, me and my sister, Winnie and Lewis. Me and Winnie and Lewis. And when I was 4 years old, we moved to this county. My daddy already had three boys, Bill, John, and Gene. His wife had died out from Dayton or Tarkin of Prairie. And he met my mother in Leon County, and he sold out everything he had and moved over there. Stayed till I was 4 years old. And we moved over here in a covered wagon from Leon County. It took us 3 days.
Really?
From Leon County. You can imagine now, six kids and mom and papa in that covered wagon. And they had a mare to it. And I don't know whether the other one was a horse or a mule, but that mare had a mule colt. And he followed him. He didn't have to put nothing on him. He just followed him all the way. Mm. Stayed with his mama, you know, that mule.
That's about 100 miles, probably.
100 miles. Mm. We come out at Lufkin somewhere. We come across the ferry on the Trinity River, and that's out from Centerville, between Centerville and Crockett. And we come to the old iron bridge on the Neches River, and I don't know where it is, out towards, let me see it, I don't know what place it was, but it's out west or northwest of Lufkin, the old iron bridge, and it seemed like I can remember crossing it, just a little, me 4 years old. Mm. Only thing I sure remember, we come by Porter Springs, and Papa drove out in some water there. You know, you used to drive out your wheel, get your wheels wet, so the rim wouldn't come off. Mm. And that scared me when he drove out in that water. I just barely remember that, Porter Springs.
And that's in Trinity County?
Yeah, that's from...
the other side of Grove?
Well, it's the other side of Crockett. It's in Houston County.
Okay, Houston.
But we come on and some, I guess we was camped there close to the Iron Bridge, and a fella come down there and tell Papa, there used to be a good many deer, and then they got to where there wasn't none, and then they got to be more deer again. Mm-hmm. People going to take care of them. But then it wasn't against the law to kill one. Mm-hmm. And this guy come down there and told Papa there was a deer up there with some cows. And Papa took he had an old pump shotgun and 12 number six squirrel shot. He went up and killed that deer for them people and gave them half, and we kept half. Mm-hmm. So we had something to eat, a little extra. Let's see, I was 4 years old. That's been 69 years ago, hasn't it? Mm-hmm.
What was it that your folks were coming to? Did they know that
he had a half-sister up here in Lufkin, and they moved there and stayed with one of her boys till he found him a place. And the first place I remember us living on after we got here was up here close to Fairview, and they called it the old Eck Wilkins place. And my daughter married one of Eck Wilkins' grandson, now my youngest daughter. But it was an old run-down place, and we just made out there a while. And then we moved to Burke, the Ab Renfro place. And we stayed there, I don't know how long, a good while. Worked for, we all is big enough to work for Ab Renfro. He was a big cotton farmer and had lots to do. And one of my brothers named after him, named Renfro,
oh.
After Ab Renfro. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you what you think about the way Dybal grew from a town that was really a company town to an independent town. You know, you lived through that time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's really improved, and I think I know the old heads had lots to do with it. Putting it on the map and getting it started and all that. But I think Arthur Temple, he's one of the smartest builders. And what do you call it? I can't think now. What's the word for it? Producing or improving things.
Yeah, developer.
Developer. Mm-hmm. He has really been good. He must have been foresighted.
Yeah.
In other words, if it wasn't like it is, well, we'd be worse shape now all around. It hurts all around when it goes, something goes down.
Yeah.
And this thing's still going down. This place is still going busted. And I don't know whether it's going to stop or not.
Mm-hmm. Marie, can you think of other things we ought to ask Mr. Wilkins?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever work the planer?
I think I worked one day there, one or two, when something had happened that I didn't have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked mostly
for Mr. Dale.
All around over the mill. He even helped on the dollar run some, and we did what come to do. We helped build that fuel house where that picture was taken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time it is.
8:30.
Well, he wouldn't be there yet.
Okay.
I'll be ready to go before she gets there, I imagine.
Okay.
Seemed like it was something I thought of. I was going to say, but I done forgot what it was now.
Well, DeWitt, did you think, did you ever feel that the people who lived in town were better, so to speak, than you were? Did you ever think?
Well, it seemed like I had that impression for a long time. They thought they were kind of, some of them at least.
Yeah.
Kind of uppity up. Did you ever have that impression?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Did you?
And I just wondered, you know, way back then.
Yeah.
If people.
I don't know whether so, but we kind of felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
We might have been looked down on a little. Mm-hmm. Didn't bother me much.
No. Because you owned your own home.
Yeah, we went barefooted a lot and wore patched clothes and all that, but it didn't bother me.
Mm-mm.
We wore. Oh, we wore clean clothes.
Yeah.
And not so much patched to school, but we worked in patched clothes a lot.
Oh, sure. Everybody did.
Marie was saying we ought to get your children's names on tape, if you don't mind telling us.
Bobby Joyce, the oldest one. She is, I believe, 49 today. 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty Ann, one lives in Lampasas now. Bob Joy lives in Houston, out on Old Beaumont Highway, towards in the Royalwood edition. And Betty, and her, she got four kids. Bob Joy had two girls. Yes, two girls. One of them married. And Betty Ann got four kids. Let's see. Bob Joy's Janitha and Jenda. They're her kids. And Betty got four, Nathan, and LaDonna, and Gregory Neal, and Bettina, the youngest one. And they live in, I believe I said, Lampasas. And George, the boy, lives in Royalwood in Houston, I don't know, Beaumont Highway, too. And he's got three kids, Keith, 15 years old, and Carla, 12, and a little boy, I forget his name now.
That's okay. Don't be shy.
Well, I'll think of it directly. Ain't been around.
He's a new one.
Yeah, what's that kid's name? Justin.
Justin.
Year old, year and a half. And then Peggy lives over close to Sheldon, just off the old Bowman Highway. They all right there close together in Houston.
That's nice.
Got two boys named, one's 15, Clay, and Lance is 13, I believe. And Ronnie works for Head and Gill, heavy equipment company. He's vice president of that company. And I believe I told you George worked for Texaco.
Yeah, you
told
me.
One of them high buildings, mm-hmm. And one of them offices.
Is he an accountant?
No, he's not an accountant. He studied for that, but it worked out. He took the first job he got,
mm-hmm.
And he worked with a lot of figures, and he does. He's making pretty good, but mm-hmm. But he never did go ahead and really finish with the accountant. I guess he could have, mm-hmm. But he decided to stay with this. He done got a lot involved in it now. Mm-hmm. Stopped with the company and so on.
And your wife's name is?
Odie Wilkerson. She ain't got a second name. It's Odie Weeks Wilkerson.
Odie Weeks Wilkerson.
And she comes from an old family.
Yeah, around Beulah, Renfro Prairie. Yeah, there's lots of Weekses there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kin to a lot of people all over the county. Fred Weeks, first cousin, and
now your children finished high school over here, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they went to, I think every one of them went to Miss Poland for something.
Oh,
you know.
Uh-huh. She was Ruth, on the news tonight.
Ruth mm-hmm. Burgess, we called her. I've been to know her. Me and her close the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them thought lots of Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
She was a famous English teacher.
Of course, they did the other teachers too, but they all knew her. And Ronnie did too. He thought like that.
Uh-huh.
I guess Sterling, that's Bubba Joyce's husband, Sterling Burnett. I don't believe I called her name Burnett a while ago.
No, you didn't.
And Peggy's was Wilkins. Married Ronnie Wilkins. But anyhow, I'll probably think of something good to tell you after I leave, but
okay.
I can't think of much.
Write it down.
Write it down.